This is Dennis Tech of Radio Birdman, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports. There are updates.
Listening to the test site of Acoustic Commons, available at wavefarm.org/listen or on any wgxc.org webpage if you click on the listen button. The test site of Acoustic Commons is a microphone in the Wavefarm woods that lets you overhear the sounds of nature, the live weather on the radio at wavefarm.org/listen or click on any wgxc.org webpage. Click on the listen button to hear the sounds in the woods at Wave Farm through the test site of Acoustic Commons.
WGXE underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz and Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026. Or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bindlestiff Family Circus of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You have tuned into the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. I'm Tom Rowe in Accra. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that Jack Shaman, the owner of the school gallery in the village of Kinderhook, has filed a notice of claim against the village code enforcement officer and the mayor, alleging that their actions resulted in Shaneman suffering damages of approximately $50,000. The notice was filed in state court in April. The allegations are based on the actions of village officials concerning the placement of Truth Be Told by artist Nick Cave on the facade of Shaneman's building located at 25 Broad Street. The artwork was deinstalled in late January and later placed on an outside wall of the Brooklyn Museum, where it is currently on display until March 2022. In October 2020, Village Code Enforcement Officer Peter Bougenau denied the gallery's request to put up the cave artwork based in part on Bougenau's determination that the artwork was considered a sign and not an artwork based on the village zoning code. The stop work order, issued as the artwork was going up, said the gallery's actions were in violation of the law that requires Historic Preservation Commission review and approval of all exterior alterations to buildings in the district. The order further prohibited the application of what village officials labeled as flammable material to the building facade in violation of the state building code. The Village Zoning Board of Appeals later overturned the order in February 2021, finding that Cage's piece was not a sign and could not be regulated under the village code. Shaneman's notice of claim argues, quote, beginning in the summer of 2020 and continuing to February 2nd, 2021, Bougenau attempted to interfere with various rights of the claimants, unquote. The claimants include Shaneman, his partner Carlos Vega, and 25 Broad Street LLC. It further accuses Bougenau of prior restraint and of trying to, quote, impose different rules for the installation of Truth Be Told, as opposed to those who apply to residents and property owners throughout the village of Kinderhook, unquote. Shaneman has accused Mayor Dale Leiser of failing to, quote, adequately ensure that Bougenau is trained and functioning according to applicable law, unquote. Shaneman is represented by Kinderhook attorney William J. Better. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media that police are currently investigating allegations of child abuse at the Columbia Children's Center daycare facility in Greenport. The inquiry is centered around an unidentified female employee who is no longer reporting to work, said attorney Michael Howard, who represents the Children's Center. State police said September 9th they are looking at several accusations of physical abuse at the facility located at 142 Union Turnpike. Aaron Hicks, public information officer for State Police Troop K, said no arrests have been made and the center remains open. The center acknowledged the investigation in a letter on September 10th to parents and guardians of the children in its care. Quote, it is with heavy hearts that we share this update. Currently, there is an investigation looking into alleged child abuse at the center. The employee is no longer reporting to work, unquote, center founder and director Nancy H. Smith said. Quote, the daycare center will remain open and the safety of your child, all children, is our priority. We also understand the need for more information. Unfortunately, while an investigation is taking place, we are unable to share any more details at this time, unquote, she said. Police want to speak with parents, either current or former clients of the center. Anyone with information is asked to call 845-677-7300 and refer to case number 104-39195. The center has been at its current location since 1991, offering daycare and preschool for children 6 weeks to 5 years of age. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. And the Mid-Hudson News Network is reporting that on September 10th, a fire at the Trump National Golf Course, Hudson Valley, went to three alarms before it was put out. The East Fishkill Fire Department was dispatched to 178 Stormville Road in Hopewell Junction, Dutchess County, around 9:20 p.m. The blaze was located in a structure that contains golf carts and their charging system. Multiple departments were called out to extinguish the fire in the 50-foot by 100-foot structure. Firefighters were able to clear the scene just before 1 a.m., on September 11th. The Dutchess County Fire Investigation Division was called to the scene to assist the East Fishkill Fire Investigation Team to assist in the probe. The extent of damage caused by the blaze was unknown. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Lego Velt pays tribute to his prized synth with the title of his album, Crystal Cult 2080. And we'll hear his retro electronica on the next Deep Threes. Plus music from Makanuchi Bento, Bedrock, Anja, Black Heat, and Kevin Lyons. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a slight chance of showers, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 p.m. on Sunday. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 79 and a low around 60 with more rain on Sunday night in the forecast. Monday, there's a chance of showers in the early morning, a 30% chance. Then it turns partly sunny with a high near 73 and a low around 55. Tuesday, again, there's a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 74 and a low around 63. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sabisha Friedberg of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
All the curtain lights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing a part, we know every card by heart. All the curtain lights, this is it, we'll hit the heights, and oh what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia. I'm in fifth grade, and I'm from near Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish.
Things.
And that's what we're going to do today. And it's so nice to see Georgia because, well, hear Georgia if you're a radio listener, but I can see her. Because I haven't seen Georgia in a while because summer was busy.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what you've done all summer?
Well, I went to a camp every week except for last week and this week because I'm starting school. Today was my first day. I really loved it. I'm going to a new school. And during the summer, the first week I went to camp at Camp Omai, which is the best camp, probably one of the best camps ever, maybe even the best. It's amazing. And then in June and July, I did a lot of stuff at the library, like helping with the mural and hack the library. And then after that, I did 2 weeks of camp at Emma Willard, which was incredible experience. And then I did a lot more weeks at Omai, four more weeks at Omai. Well, three more after that. I went 4 out of 6 weeks of Omai. And then after that, I did 2 weeks of camp. Well, actually, 1 week of camp at Woodland Hill, which is a Montessori school that I went to preschool at. Then I did 1 week of dance camp with one of my best friends, Molly. And then I did another week of Woodland Hill. And then I had a week off to prep for school. And then now it's this week. Yes, today was my first day at school. Very exciting. It's very funny. My school is 40 minutes away from me. So I arrived at 3:55. So I just had to drop my bags on the floor, kick off my shoes, zoom upstairs, drop my bags on the floor, zoom upstairs again, slam the door to my room, quickly go logging on to my computer, quickly clicking the link, and then logging on.
Voila, you're here.
Voila.
Well, it sounds like you had a very fun and busy summer. You said you loved Camp Omai, that it's one of the best camps in the whole world, possibly the best. I'm wondering, what is your favorite thing that you did at Camp Omai this summer?
Well, I am a regular at Camp Omai. I haven't missed a single year. This was my fifth year there. I love everything about Camp Omai. I really like the camp director, Sasha, and all the counselors and volunteers are really nice. The camp goes from ages 4 to 12. And after 12, you can volunteer there. And then once you become 16 or 17, you can become a counselor. I hope to be a counselor one day. It's such an incredible camp. I went with Molly and a bunch of friends. I have a lot of friends at Omai, so it's really nice having them all in one place. And Omai is just such a happy place to be. It's just so full of joy, and it just has such a sweet feeling. And what's great is a lot of people who have, some who have moved here from New York City, or some here who have lived here for a really long time, they're all together in one camp. Because a lot of people from New York City, and then a lot of people from here, and then a lot of people from other places who are visiting upstate New York come here to come to camp, and it's really just great. I have one of my best friends. I call us long distance best friends because she lives in Florida. I met her at Omai, Sylvia. She's amazing. So yeah, Omai is just incredible. I'd recommend it for everybody 4 to 12 and younger than that. Just get out your calendar and check the day when you can go.
And all us old people can just go to Omai and walk around and look at the art.
Yes, because
yeah. And sometimes the town programs for adults.
Because it's in a sculpture park.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a really cool space.
And at Omai, you do a lot of art. do art there. It's an art camp. It's a day camp, and you do a lot of art. It's very fun. Just do art, and there are different studios. We do all kinds of different medias and stuff.
So I might be mistaken, but Georgia showed me the book that she was going to talk about today, and I'm pretty sure it is set at camp too, right?
Am I making that up?
Okay.
Right. So
since we're talking about camp, you know.
Yeah, I've shared this book before, but the last time I shared it, I hadn't finished it. So I thought that I'd share it today because I finished it. It's a book that we had to read for school. So I will read this. I seriously was about to open up the book and start reading it out loud.
Let's talk about the book instead of reading it for the time being.
I'm so sorry. Today was just such a exhausting day. First time being the new kid, 5 years. Just bleh. I'm a little out of it right now. Okay, so I give this book, rating wise, probably a 99.9 out of 100.
Nice.
Actually, no, 99.9 out of 10.
That's a lot.
It's such a amazing book. And the last chapter is so sweet. The last chapter. So partly what I like about the last chapter is, like, it's not one of those classic stories where it always ends like, and they get married and live happily ever after. I won't spoil it. But what's so cool is at the end, they say after the wedding, and you think, your mind tells you like, oh, it's the dad's wedding. That's so great. And then you read the chapter and you're like, oh, it's not the dad's wedding.
A different wedding.
Yeah.
So before you get to the wedding, what's the rest of the book about?
Sorry. So okay. They were at Camp CGI and they became friends. And then their dads.
Oh, I don't think you said what the book is called either.
Whoops. Like I said, very out of it today. Two Night Owl from Dogfish. And thanks. Like I said, so out of it. I'm not at my best right now. What was I about to say? Just lost my train of thought.
So it's about two characters. What are their names?
Right! Avery and Bette. Bette and Avery are going to camp, CGI, and they start, at first, they really don't like each other, and then they get to know each other, and then they start to really like each other. They got kicked out of Camp CGI. I don't want to spoil it, so I won't tell why. And then their dads tell them that the dads broke up, and so they try to get the dads back together, and they want to because they've bonded so much. They're like sisters. That's all I say, because if I share one more little bit, I'm going to spoil it all.
And is a lot of the story in letters?
All of the story is in emails or letters.
Okay.
It's really cool.
It's fun. I've heard really good things about this book.
It's a great book. I recommend it to anyone and everyone.
Woo! I should read it.
Oh, I thought you were like, woo! I thought you thought was the radio listeners. I was like, that's you, Emily!
This guy. Yeah, I should read it.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Well, I have a book I can talk about. It's a lot less upbeat sounding than your book, but it was a very good book, and it's inspired by a true story, and it's historical fiction called When the World Was Ours by Liz Kessler, and she's the author of the Emily Winsnap series, which some of our listeners might know, but this is a story of three young friends who live in Vienna in 1936, and the book opens up with a really, like, lovely, like, happy, perfect day. It's one of the three friends, Leo. It's his birthday. He's turning 9. And to celebrate, he and his friends go on this big, giant Ferris wheel in Vienna. And his dad, who's a professional photographer, takes their picture and captures this, like, perfect, joyful, friend-filled moment. And so they all have this picture to remember that perfect day. But, of course, this takes place in 1936 in Vienna, and soon things change for them as Hitler's regime takes power, and Leo isn't able to go to school anymore because of this. Elsa's family ends up moving to Czechoslovakia because they think it'll be safer there for them. And then Max, the third friend, his father starts rising in the ranks of Hitler's regime, and they end up moving to Munich, I think. And Max starts getting involved with the Hitler Youth. And so it follows, it switches between each of the characters, each chapter, and follows their stories throughout the war. So it's really sad because obviously that was a horrific time. And it's also sad to see, you know, it goes from this beautiful, happy moment to them all being separate and in, you know, horrible situations. So it's not an easy read, but it is a very good read. And for people that love historical fiction and love those sort of character focused stories, especially ones that skip around from place to place and character to character, it'd be a really nice one. And I listened to the audio recording, which was excellent as well.
For me, when I see books or movies that are just really sad, I get so immersed in it. And then when I stop for a second and I pause and I say to myself, it's just a book or it's just a movie. And I'm like, wasn't just a book. Sometimes then I'm like, well, it is just a book. It's fiction.
Yeah, that's harder when it's historical fiction based on a true story.
Yeah, that's harder. But with fiction, I'm just like, it's just a book, or it's just a show, or just a movie, or it's just a DVD, or it's just a song, or
yeah, lots of pshing. Yes. But yeah, so that was my most recent read, aside from a bunch of picture books that I read recently. So I've decided that my next reads will be fun, funny, lighthearted books to make up for it.
Who are your favorite authors?
My favorite authors? Ooh, that's a tough one. I like so many. One that I love is Jacqueline Woodson. I haven't read her adult books yet. She does have a couple adult books, but I love her teen fiction and middle grade and her picture books as well. I think she's a brilliant writer. And then I don't know, I have other authors that I have like favorites, like some of their books are my favorites, but some aren't. So yeah, I guess it depends on what I'm in the mood for.
My favorite authors are Roald Dahl and Lord Dunsany.
Who was the second one?
Lord Dunsany.
I don't think I know them, unless I'm hearing you wrong.
Lord Dunsany.
What did they write?
Lord Dunsany mostly writes short stories. He's from the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. His writing is very beautiful. A lot of it involves people getting drunk. But he uses a lot of really poetic language. It's really beautiful writing. I'd recommend it to people.
That's great.
Warning, anybody who is under the age of 8, not recommended to read this. Not that it's inappropriate. It just will, you'll probably put the book down as soon as you start reading it. Because a lot of people would probably get bored with his writing. Evie, you want to say hi? Evie just came up to me.
Evie's a dog for our radio listeners, but not very chatty, at least at the moment.
She's actually a very quiet dog. Most dogs like bark all the time, but Evie's so quiet.
Sure, she loves listening to us talk about books.
She loves people, so since she's an English Golden Retriever. For radio listeners, the only sign you can hear of her is probably me kissing her and her walking. That scratchy noise.
Yeah, but she's there. She really is. But anyways, I think we're just about out of time for today. But it's really lovely seeing Georgia again and hearing about what you've been reading and doing all summer.
You, Emily.
And we hope everyone out there listening has a great week with lots of quality reading time. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books.
Acorn Castle and Hudson too.
Yes. But yeah, until then, happy reading.
Happy reading!
Bye.
story of love that same old play I'm getting tired of. No more acting these predictable roles, just the sleepy unconditional story of love that boring play I'm getting tired of. Now I'm acting these predictable roles just a sleeping unconditional love. Ooh, the whole story of love's a boring play I'm getting tired of. No more acting these predictable roles, just us living unconditional love.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7. FM.
Next on the radio, Uzique and Mrs. Jinx with their 2021 release, The Secret Garden.
Thank you. But in the rest of match, Monopoly 21 checkers and chess, Mr. Fred Blassie in a breakfast mess. Let's play Twister, let's play Risk. See you in heaven if you make the list. See you in heaven if you make the list. Now Andy, did you hear about this one? Tell me, are you locking the punch? Hey Andy, are you goofing on LSD, baby? Are we losing touch?
If you believe, they put a man on the moon. Man on the moon. If you believe, there's nothing up his sleeve. Nothing is cool.
Moses might walk with a staff of wood. Newt got beaned by the apple good. By the horrible ass, Mr. Charles Darwin had the gall to ask. Now, Andy, did you hear about this one? Tell me, are you locking the punch? Hey, Andy, are you goofing on Elvis? Hey, baby, are you having fun?
If you believe, they put a man on the moon. Man on the moon. If you believe, there's nothing up his sleeve. Nothing is cool.
For the never believer, here's the little ghost of the offering. Here's the truck stop instead of St. Peter's. Mr. Andy Coffin's gone wrestling. Yeah, Mr. Andy Coffin's gone wrestling.
Mr. Andy Coffin's gone wrestling.
Now, Andy, did you hear about this one? Tell me, are you locking the punch? Hey, Andy, are you goofing on Elvis?
Hey, baby,
are we losing touch?
If you believe, they put a man on the moon.
Man on the moon.
Chick 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 with their 2021 cover of REM's Man on the Moon with help from Mia Pace.
Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening.
Today I'm in Hunter to meet with Marilla Abrahamson and Helena Kaminsky, the ladies behind the Phoenix Web Collective. Located right on Main Street, the Phoenix Web Collective is part free market, part creative space for artists and others. As a free store, it offers a range of items all free to the community, from things they found on their own to donations. There's clothing, kids' to back school supplies, small household appliances, electronics, books, and more. Okay, to start, what was the overall driving idea to start the Phoenix Web Collective?
For me, it was to reduce waste in the community and to give locals a place to hang out, a place where they can do things where they don't have to spend money. I grew up here and there wasn't a ton to do. There was a short period where we had a youth center, and that was like the light of all the young people's lives. Like, it was the place to hang out. There was so much to do there. You didn't have to spend money, but there wasn't enough staff, and there were some loose rules there.
Loose rules?
Maybe I shouldn't say rules, but the people that are working there are supposed to be responsible for the teens and stuff, and it's hard to manage a bunch, like a lot of teens, with such a small staff. So if the kids, you know, went off and ended up getting caught, I don't know, smoking weed down the road, the staff there was responsible for them. So because they were so short-staffed, because stuff like that was happening, they had to close.
So you grew up in Hunter, right?
Yes.
And how did you end up here on Main Street with a storefront?
So we started as a pop-up in Prattsville, and through the evolution of how the pop-up worked, we started raising money that we got to hold on to. And it was a lot of work setting up and breaking down a whole free store every Sunday. So we started talking about how nice it would be to find a place. Then we started scouting out areas here and in Windham and trying to come up with how we would get the funds. And then my friend Willow ended up giving us $6,000 to get started and use a storefront once we found it. And we found this one, and we were very excited about the shelves when we saw it.
Oh, the shelves are already here.
Yes, but now we want less shelves. Now we want hangar room.
Mm-hmm. More space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But this is a great space. Must be so much work, though, to keep everything organized. Where primarily do you get everything from?
Donations from locals.
And yeah, everything's local.
Everything's local. Mm-hmm. So I love the idea that it's upcycling and recycling right here in the community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how did people find you and find out about you?
Well, we made a name for ourselves in Prattsville. And through word of mouth, a lot of people found out that we were able to get a storefront and moved here. And we do a lot of networking. We have a lot of friends in a lot of different areas throughout the Catskills, which is kind of the web part of Phoenix Web. So we would get people to like play shows or do Skillshares, and then, you know, their friends would find out about us through that. And everyone knows my dad in this area, so that also helps.
Who's your dad?
His name's Bobby Abramson. I'm Bobby's daughter.
Bobby.
And now we have social media, and that helps a lot.
That's Instagram. How I found out about it.
Yeah.
So I found out about Phoenix Web in 2019. I probably saw some social media posts that, like, I was like, oh, I wonder what that is, because I was living in Catskill, and I had moved to Catskill a few years before. And I did a political action in Albany with someone who was working here at the time. And I was really inspired by that. And I heard about Phoenix Web and everything Mars said about, you know, a space for the community, especially young people, to go. I was a young person where I grew up that didn't have any place to go. And I think that's super important. And then tied with that political action that we did, I felt like this was a really cool place that I should get involved with. So I met Mars, and that's how I learned about it.
I can say that I think it's really important to build up the community, and I see that as a very fundamental political action, even if you're not outwardly doing anything that we see as traditionally political. Just bringing people together in a trusted kind of way builds people's confidence to be able to impact their own community in a political way. So that's why I think it's important.
And you're here every weekend.
Yeah.
And what are some of the programs that you have been doing?
The other day we did a tonic workshop. Willow came through the area, so they brought a bunch of wildly harvested plants, an apple cider vinegar, and then everyone got to learn about the plants, how tonics help your health. And we had a blender and we all got to make our own. And we did a tie-dye workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year we've done the garden, which is huge. So we've been working on a community garden. The Catskill Mountain Foundation is letting us basically use their land for that used to be a farm that now we're bringing back because it was overrun with weeds. And so now you see we're making these seed packets. The goal is to make it a community garden. I don't think it would have been ready this year for community members just because of the state it was in. But hopefully next year we can, you know, bring more people in outside of the store to help with that. And even just this artist gallery, I think, is really important for people to feel like, you know, they may live somewhere where there's not a lot of resources, but they can feel validated as an artist to have their work up in a space, like a physical shop that they can sell stuff in.
And where's the community garden? Is it here on Main Street?
It's right up the road. If you make a right at the blinking light, it's right on top of the hill on your right.
Oh, yeah, I know where that is.
And we also got a community fridge.
Yep, the community fridge, that's huge, actually. Mars took care of all that, like, pretty much on her own.
Michelle Yost from the local food pantry helped.
Just a quick hug and a donation.
Oh, thank you.
Donation and a quick hug. Hi, Helena.
Hi.
Look,
that's her mom.
Beautiful.
Oh, Mom. Look how beautiful you are.
I'm getting interviewed for the radio.
You're this so is Julia.
Beautiful. Hi, Mom.
Hi.
Wow. Proud Mama.
Yes, yeah. I am very proud.
My mom also grew up here.
Bye. Oh, love her. So where is the food fridge?
The fridge is behind the library and movie theater and fire station. They all kind of smack together, and it's in a shed, also donated to us to use for the Catskill Mountain Foundation. So there's like dry pantry shelves and then an industrial kitchen fridge.
A very nice fridge.
Yeah.
Like, really nice fridge. Nice.
That's amazing.
And yeah. We get Newton Farm has been donating a lot of their produce and their produce products, like pesto, borscht, kimchi that they make. So it's like a really nice community fridge. It's not just any community fridge.
But Michelle Yost also helped us with the community fridge. She does the Catterscale Methodist Church thrift store and the food pantry in Tannersville. But they weren't able to have fresh produce either. So it was something that they've been discussing for a while, and then I was the one who jumped on it.
I love that you have your free store, your community garden in progress, your community food fridge, artist exhibitions. What else is on your wish list?
We would like a bigger space so we can host larger performances, and we would like to get to nonprofit status so we can actually get paid to be here. I would like to stop having to clean for rich people. then if we're able to do that, we would have money to like give grants to artists to do, you know, like large murals or just like really fun projects.
That's a great vision and a great goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wish you the best of luck on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends, or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time. Thank you.
yourself a sad yellow phone.